Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, February 26th, and I am reading in the New International Version. We pick up in the book of Genesis chapter 42. We'll be reading verses 26 through the end of the chapter, but I wanted to give you a little recap from yesterday. Remember that the famine has come in Egypt and all the other lands, and now Joseph is beginning to portion out grain for the nations around him. And who shows up wanting to buy grain? It is his brothers. And they bow down before him, which is a fulfillment of Joseph's dream back when he was younger. And they bow before him, and he recognizes them as his brothers, but they do not recognize him. It has been some 21 years since they put him in the pit and they sold him into slavery. And Joseph has a different demeanor. He probably has on Egyptian garb. He is clean shaven because the way of the Egyptians is to shave their beards, and the Israelites would have worn a beard. And so he looks very different than they would have assumed Joseph would look. And so today we pick up in this story where Joseph has given them grain to fill their bags. Let's start in the middle of verse 25. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We're honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is Lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me so I will know that you are not spies but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow.'" Before we move on, I just want to think on the fact that their previous sin of putting Joseph in the pit has caused lots of pain over the years. And even now, Jacob is still reeling from the effects of their sin. He does not want to let Benjamin go to the land of Egypt because he's afraid that he might lose him as well. Now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we're reading the second part of Psalm 72, starting in verse 12. You may remember yesterday, this psalm is from Solomon, so it is attributed to Solomon, and it may have been used at the coronation or the crowning of the king, so it may have been at Solomon's coronation, or it may have been used in other coronations after Solomon. As you read the psalm, though, you think, man, Solomon didn't really live up to this psalm. And that's a good tension if you feel it, because later Jewish thought and the early Christians would have seen this as a messianic psalm, or a psalm that points to the Messiah. And so as you read it, I want you to think about how Jesus perfectly fulfills this psalm, starting in verse 12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people even pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Let us move to the gospel reading in John. Today we are in John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 31 and we'll go through the end of the chapter. You'll remember that in the last couple of days, we've been hearing about the validity of Jesus's teaching. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then there would be some Jews that would ask him questions about how could he be the light of the world? How could he be the Messiah? And today, Jesus is going to dispute with some of the Jews over whose children Jesus's opponents are. Starting in verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you did not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Thank you so much for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to just quickly recap a couple of things here. Did you notice that Jesus says, "I am," in this passage? And it's not just saying, "Hey, I am he." This is a pointer back to that statement that God makes about himself in Exodus, when Moses is afraid to go to the Egyptian Pharaoh, and he says, "Who do I say sent me?" And God says, "Tell him, I am. The Eternal One has sent you." And so here, when Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am," he is making a statement to the Jews that he is God and he was with the Father from the beginning. I also want to talk about the fact that Jesus points to God's glory. Look again at verse, 50 here. "I am not seeking the glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." Sometimes people question, why in the world would God seek his own glory? And I think the best answer, pulling from C.S. Lewis and others here, is that God is glorious and we find our fulfillment in glorifying him. When we see him for who he is and for the fact that he is all-powerful and worthy of all praise, then we're in the best spot possible. And so Jesus is pointing to the Father's glory. But you'll notice also that in the scriptures, God the Father points to Jesus's glory. Remember at the baptism, when Jesus comes out of the water, what does God the Father say? "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus also points to the glory of the Spirit. He says, "I've got to go away so that I can send one to you, the Spirit, and through the Spirit you will do great things." So there's a lot of pointing to another in the Trinity for the glory. And I just want to remind us that Jesus is always pointing to the Father. And this is a testimony to us. We should always point to the Father's work in our lives. The last thing I want to mention is when Jesus says to the Jews that their native language is the language of Satan, which is the language of lies. And it really made me question in my own spirit, what is my native language? What is it that I speak most often that wells up in my soul? Is my native language that of the evil one, that of negativity and harsh judgment on others. I think oftentimes we see the bad way before we see the good. And God calls us to a different kind of speech. Jesus calls us to a speech of the truth and love, of peace, of joy, and especially of gratitude. And so in those moments when we are harsh or we are judgmental, I want you to take a moment to step back and think, Lord, you have given me this day. It is wonderful. And I want to praise you in the midst of my bent towards negativity. And would you turn it to gratitude and to praise? Let us turn to praise to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we bring you praise because you are glorious. You are worthy of our adoration. Lord, we oftentimes speak as those who are children of the devil, but turn our lips to praise to you and to grace and peace to those around us. Help us to be conduits of your mercy and your love. We pray specifically in these moments for those who are on our prayer list, who rise to the top for whatever reason, because they are sick or because they are sin sick or because they just need an extra special touch of your love. We pray, Lord, that in these moments they would sense your presence and your nearness. We want to thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 72. That he delivers the needy when they cry out and the afflicted who have no one else to help. He takes pity on the weak and the needy and he saves them from death. Would you rescue our friends and us from oppression and violence? And thank you, Lord, that we are called precious in your sight because we believe in you and we love you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.